When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
And now, prepare yourself for the only talk radio show you'll want to turn up.
Crank this thing.
Sirius XM Pandora presents the place where your hard rock and metal voice can still be heard.
You bet your ass, baby.
Unfiltered, uncensored, say whatever you want.
Hit the record button. Anything can happen, you know?
I know that ain't nobody out there came to be mellow tonight, now did you? I say there ain't nobody. I say there ain't nobody not out there that even wants to be a little bit mellow. Now is there? Anybody wants to get mellow, you can turn around and get the fuck out of here, all right?
This is the Trunk Nation Podcast with host Eddie Trunk.
Hey everyone, it's Eddie Trunk, and welcome to another episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast. New every Thursday. Be sure to subscribe and check it out. Don't miss an episode of interviews with all your favorite rock artists. Of course, as I tell you every week, the interviews originate on my SiriusXM show, which is called Trunk Nation. If you're in the U.S. or Canada, be sure to listen each and every day, Monday through Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern, with replays 10 to midnight Eastern, and anything you want, audio, video, more, anything you want on the SiriusXM app. If you're only listening to the podcast, you're only getting a tiny fraction of what I do on a daily basis on the radio. So be sure to come on board with me on SiriusXM if you are not already and get the full picture. 2 interviews for you this week. We've got a good one, so we're going to get to them real quickly. First up, we'll start with former Kiss guitarist and founding member of that band, Ace Frehley. Ace is currently on tour supporting Alice Cooper. Ace, always fun to check in. He and I, of course, have a tremendous amount of decades of history. He called in just before he started on the road with Alice Cooper, and I think you'll enjoy the conversation, as most people do when they hear from the one and only Space Ace. So Ace Frehley kicking us off, and our second interview will be from a guy who is a regular listener of my SiriusXM show, Trunk Nation, and that is Sebastian Bach, original lead singer in Skid Row. And he is out with his solo band playing Slave to the Grind in its entirety. I saw that show a couple weeks ago, hosted it in Houston. It was absolutely killer. Sebastian, always entertaining as well. And both artists are on tour now, so it's a good opportunity to give you these interviews via the podcast. Let's get to our first interview on the podcast this week. You know him, you love him. He is an icon and a legend, the original lead guitarist of Kiss, Ace Frehley, right now on the Eddie Trunk Podcast. And here is a guy that was incredibly influential on John 5 and so many other guitar players. And John guested on some of his recent albums, getting ready to go out on tour as special guest to Alice Cooper. Joining us now live on Trunk Nation is original Kiss guitarist and co-founder of that band and Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, Ace Frehley, joining us right now. How are you, brother?
Good afternoon, Mr. Trunk.
How's the rehearsals going? You're getting ready for this tour, getting started on Saturday with Alice. I know you've been busy rehearsing. How's it gone?
We're killing it. I'm having so much fun, you know? The pandemic, you know, shut down everything, and it's been 2 years since we performed live, and I'm so looking forward to this tour. And so is all the other guys in the band. And, you know, we've just been rehearsing, you know, constantly this week. And we just finished up our last run-through of a new medley that we're doing to help promote Origins Volume 2. We're doing a short melody. We're doing a half of each song. We're doing She into Manic Depression, into Never in My Life by Leslie West, Mountain, into Led Zeppelin's Good Times, Bad Times. That's a melody we have planned.
That's going to be awesome. How much set time do you have, Ace, with Alice? How long will the set show be?
I don't know, around 50, 55 minutes, something around there.
So you'll get all the classics, and then you'll get a good medley in, and it helps to be able to do a medley when you don't have a full hour and a half or whatever.
Yeah. Now, I actually enjoy doing medleys because, you know, you just give the, you know, you get, there's so many songs that I can perform, you know, songs I've written with Kiss, songs I've written on my own. I mean, you know how many albums. You probably know, I have no idea. How many albums have I put out?
Total? Like all in, everything?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to sit down one day and figure out how many songs I've written. I have no idea.
You know, no, I have no idea. Off the top of my head, I could count them up pretty quick, but I have no idea off the top of my head.
How many songs I've guest starred on, you know, Wendy O. Williams, and I mean, just and people that have played on my records, you know, Slash and Robin Zander, Lita Ford, John Five, you know, Slash. The list is endless.
Hey, so let me ask you about touring with Alice, because like you said, this is the first time you're going to be going out in a while, but what is your history with Alice? I know that, I remember hearing a story, I think it was you and Paul Stanley very early on before Kiss was really, when Kiss was making the first record, you guys went to see Alice Cooper. Was that your earliest Alice Cooper experience going that far back?
When I had first joined Kiss, we went to see the Billion Dollar Baby tour, and I think, I hadn't met Alice yet, I don't think, at that point. You know, usually when people say to me, how long have you known Alice? Like, I've known Alice as long as we got drunk together. So how long has Alice been sober? I was sober 15 years. My anniversary was yesterday, but Alice is probably double that.
Well, first of all, congratulations to you. You and I talked on the phone last night, and you'd mentioned that to me, and that's an amazing milestone. So congratulations. Yeah. But Alice, Alice probably would be more years than that for sure. But he was as notorious as you in his day. He was as notorious as you. The two of you back in those days must have been brutal. It must have been unbelievable.
Well, we got invited to Alice's birthday party, and of course he had several cases of Budweiser, and I'm sitting next to Alice, and Paul and Gene is on either side of him. You know, and of course those guys don't drink, you know, and me and Alice are chugging beers and laughing our fucking asses off. Whoop.
Oh, you can say that. It's fine.
And completely ignoring Paul and Gene because those guys don't drink. And Alice, you know, identified with me because we were both beer drinkers, you know. And we had a lot of fun that day. So I can't remember. That was in the 70s.
Let me ask you this, Ace. When you were putting together, when Kiss was coming together, and you're making the first record, and you guys go and watch Alice on that Billion Dollar Babies tour, I would think it would make sense to think that seeing Alice and you guys seeing Alice and doing a show like he was doing on that tour had a big impact on what you guys wanted to do as Kiss when you started out, right?
Well, from the very beginning, we've always said that, you know, people like Alice Cooper and other people as well have been, you know, major influences on us. You know, I mean, Alice Cooper was one of the, you know, he puts on a theatrical rock show, you know, but, you know, we took it one step further, or maybe two, or maybe a whole staircase. But Alice is a great talent, and, you know, great songs, and a fun guy to be around. I'm good friends with his wife. Good friends with the guys in his band. His guys in his band know my guys. They talk to each other. So it's going to be a lot of fun, you know, a lot of camaraderie, you know. And it's going to be very cool. I'm looking forward to it. It's I don't see any downside or negativity. I mean, the only thing I wish is that, you know, because of COVID and stuff, you know, they're not having an opening act. So even though I'm a special guest star, you know, I'm going on first. But I think, like, the first show in New Hampshire, I was talking to the Ampeg rep, and he mentioned that there was another stage smaller than the stage we're playing on. I think we'll be playing for 10,000 people. And I think he said he was performing that afternoon, so I guess they may be the opening act, you know. Maybe there are some opening acts in some situations, but, you know, it's nice to have a band, a three-act bill, you know, have one group to open up, then the special guest star, and then the headliner. You know, but in some cases, it's just me and Alice. So, but, you know, it's cool, you know. I think everybody understands because of COVID, you know, there's certain guidelines that we have to follow.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask you about. So what kind of have there been precautions and things put in place? And I mean, touring's so different now because of this. Everybody's dealing with it at different ways. What are you? Do you have any concerns going out? Are there any things you can and can't do that you'd normally do because of it?
Well, I normally just stay in my room. I don't hang out in bars anymore. Everybody pretty much in the band has been told, you know, don't socialize a lot. You know, kind of keep to yourselves, you know, because, you know, if one guy in my band gets it can, you know, screw up the whole tour. So everybody has to be cautious. We're traveling with a CDC person, and we're going to be tested twice a week. No one is allowed backstage. Meet and greets were canceled, you know, a couple of weeks ago, which kind of got me a little upset. But, you know, I'm working around that. I'm going to be doing virtual meet and greets, and I'm going to be doing a video to explain that on my website in the next 24 hours. But, you know, we're going to get around it, and we're going to have fun, and, you know, I'm going to sell some of my painted guitars and, you know, perform, you know, if somebody wants to pay a certain fee, I'm going to get up on stage and play the guitar they bought for a song. So, you know, we're getting around that.
Speaking of the COVID stuff, pretty amazing, Gene and Paul, how careful they were that they still ended up getting it. Did you have any contact with them around that time?
Oh yeah, I spoke to Paul and he told me he was completely baffled. You know, the minute I heard he had it, I got a hold of him. The minute Gene got it, I got a hold of him. Gene sent me a video of him with a nurse telling him he's okay. But, you know, they follow the guidelines. Paul goes, I'm completely baffled. I used to have no idea how I got it, you know. I said, he goes, he was stuck in a hotel in Pennsylvania. I said, you know, be careful, you know, because I thought he might be going back to L.A., you know. And I said, you know, you got young kids, you know, at the house. He goes, no, I got to self-quarantine. So, but as far as I know, they're back on the road again, aren't they?
Yeah, they resumed a few days ago.
Yeah. So, you know, they got over it pretty quick. You know, some people, you know, get laid up for weeks. And, you know, my cousin has a ranch in Dallas, and he got the Delta virus, and he was laid up for 11 days. And he said it was like the flu on steroids. So that's something I do not want to get. But I've been vaccinated. I take my vitamins. I work out. You know, my new girlfriend's a personal trainer on top of being a school teacher and a graphic artist. So, you know, I eat right. She keeps me, you know, in great shape. You know, I'm down to 198, which is the thinnest I've been since I can't remember.
Well, yeah, I saw you for your birthday in Vegas when we had your dinner, and you looked great, and you're even thinner now, which is crazy, which I said to you when I saw you in Vegas, speaking of Kiss, I said, you're ready to fit into the suit. Let's go. tell them you're ready to put the costume on, man. Let's go.
Yeah. I take life one day at a time these days, you know? I'm just looking forward to this tour. I'm really thrilled with the set. We also decided to add Strutter. That's a song that I don't think I've ever performed without Kiss. And that sounds great. One of the guys, other guys in the band is singing it. And it's a powerhouse set, you know, because we're limited in time. You know, we're going like from one song into the next, boom. But, you know, And I'm shortening my guitar solo, you know, 3 or 4 minutes. But that's okay. You know.
Well, you got great singers in that band. I know all of them, and everybody can sing yourself.
We have 5 lead singers.
Yeah. Yeah, so that opens up the possibility to do a lot of material, yeah. And that's a great advantage to have.
And, you know, God forbid, you know, I blow my voice out, you know, one of the other guys can cover for me. I would never use tapes.
No.
Like some
Thank
people.
God.
But
yeah.
Anyway, right. You know, that's just, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm hoping for a good turnout, you know. My agent, Kevin Daly, told me that the ticket sales are doing really, really well. You know, so, you know, I mean, it's a great bill with me and Alice. You know,
it is.
A very similar audience.
Yeah. And as soon as I heard about it, I thought it was a great bill. Just so people know that you're not on the Atlantic City date, which is tomorrow. That's only Alice. But you start with Alice on Saturday, and that's in Guilford, New Hampshire on the 18th. Then you go Connecticut, Massachusetts, New York, Chicago. New York is upstate. New York is Utica.
Yeah,
but you've got a bunch
of
dates.
I have no idea where I'm playing. I go push me in the right direction. Throw me on the plane, whatever.
Well, get out there and see it. It should be a great thing. 2 quick things, and I'll let you go. I got to ask you about this. So the Kiss documentary that was on recently, it was well known you did not participate in it. I know why you didn't, but do you want to say publicly why you didn't? Would you like to tell the fans why you opted out of the documentary?
Not really. You know, it was just something that, well, in reality, they didn't want to give me creative control. In other words, I didn't have creative control over the final edit, so I decided not to be involved with it, you know.
Did you watch it?
No, I haven't seen it. You said I came off good, so, you know. I mean,
I thought
haven't
you did.
Anything negative about it.
Yeah, no, I told you. Bob Ezrin said you're the most rock and roll guy in the band, and he said that you were right to feel ganged up on at times. That was what Bob Ezrin said in it.
It's funny you brought up Bob, because I was just talking to one of the guys in my band, and, you know, Bob lives in Nashville, and so do the guys in my band, except for Matt Starr, the drummer. And I said, let's get Bob Ezrin over to the show. I haven't seen him in a dog's age. So hopefully that'll materialize. And, you know, it's going to be a great tour, you know.
Yeah, it should be great. And the last thing is, you know, speaking of Kiss, do you hold out any hope still that you might play with them like the fans do, even if a final show? Is there any scenario you see possible for that to happen?
Look, anything's possible, and I've always said that, you know. Everybody, you know, that's the first question so many people have asked me over the years, you know, would you ever consider doing a Kiss reunion? And I said, you know, I never close the door on anything. You know, if the money's right and it's presented to me in the right way, you know, anything can happen, you know.
You know, they put out a show, you know, they put out a live show recently, officially released a live show from that short tour, that short time where it was you and Eric Singer. I don't know if you know that a live show came out from Japan from around 01 that they officially put out a few months ago.
Oh, well, that's interesting. I should be getting a check done. If not, they'll be getting a call from my attorney.
If not, they'll get an invoice.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I'm on good terms with Paul and Gene, which is nice because, you know, we created something really special,
yeah.
You know, in the early 70s, you know, that has outlasted, you know, so many other bands. And, you know, God bless them. They're still doing it. I'm still doing it, you know. Peter's still around, you know. I'm not quite sure why Peter hasn't toured over the years, you know, as much as I have, you know. But, you know, it is what it is, you know. Everybody does what they want to do. But I'm having a ball. You know, I love my new band. I think, you know, everybody who's heard the new band thinks it's one of the best live bands I've ever put together. You know, they're super tight. And
Yeah, I know those guys. I've known them for a long time.
Things about the guys in my band. You know, everybody gets along. You know, no drugs, no alcohol. You know, it's just serious rock musicians having fun, entertaining people, and trying to give a positive message to the youth of America. You know, rock and roll, come to a rock and roll concert and forget about all your problems and all the ridiculous stuff that's going on in the world and the politics that, you know, we have to deal with and hear about every day and this goddamn virus. And, come to a concert and forget about that for a couple of hours, you know. Come see me and Alice and enjoy your life, you know. You've been locked up in a room, you know, afraid to go out. And thank God the virus has subsided in America, but in certain places, you know, it's still, bad, you know, from what I understand. I just spoke to a friend in Florida, and they said Florida's getting bad again. So I don't know, you know, but we take the proper precautions and, you know, stay fit, work out, take your vitamins, say your prayers at night before you go to bed. And thank God in the morning, you know, that you're alive because, you know, it's a gift.
Yeah, and you're right. And you know, getting away from all of that stuff and getting out and seeing a show, it's more important than ever because it helps you kind of forget about the craziness of the world, even for an hour or two, 3 hours. It's a real good therapy. It really is. Hey, listen, man, I'm about to run out.
I really believe that's why Kiss was so successful because, you know,
Escape.
We were such a dynamic act. Because we would not just we didn't just sound good. We put on a spectacle of a show, and it captivated people. And that's why, you know, in the late 70s, we were voted by the Gallup polls the number one group in America, which is a major achievement, you know, in my career. And I was very proud to be part of that. It's withstood the test of time, you know. All my guitar work and solos, you know, even though I'm not playing them, some other idiot is. And life goes on.
Well, you're right. That's what it's about. It's about being an escape, and that's what some of the best music is, get away from the madness of the world. Hey, I got to run. I'm about to run out of time here for the show, but I appreciate a few minutes. Travel safe. I'm going to try to get out and see you at a show. Everybody go see Ace. Get there early to make sure you see Ace playing before Alice Cooper as his special guest. And congratulations on 15 years sober, brother. Nothing more important than that. I'm proud of you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on the show, and I'm sure I'll bump into you on tour.
Well, my thanks to Ace Frehley. Check him out on tour now, playing with Alice Cooper. Jumping out on stage, playing some songs with Alice as well, doing Schools Out on some of the stops I noticed. Coming up next, Sebastian Bach. Next up on the podcast this week is original Skid Row lead singer Sebastian Bach, who is currently out on tour with his solo band, paying tribute to the 30th anniversary of the great Skid Row album, Slave to the Grind. Sebastian called into my show just before that tour started, and here's how that conversation went. And now, he is Bach, ladies and gentlemen. He is Bach on Trunk Nation. We welcome live to the show, very punctual too, right on time, Sebastian Bach.
Yes, it's 12 noon my time, which means it's 3 p.m. your time. But listen, before we get into all this, I have one very important question for you, Eddie. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Eddie, how are you doing?
I knew it.
Joel, how are you doing?
I was waiting for it. I knew that was coming.
Andrew Murray, how are you doing, dude?
No, nobody asked Joel how he's doing. That's considerate of you, Sebastian. Nobody asked Joel. You were courteous.
Well, he had to be considerate because he wants me to edit that out.
No, that's right.
I have to be considerate because every single caller asked me how I'm doing now. Like, hey, Wilfred from Texas. How you doing, Wilfred? How you doing? How you doing, Shannon from Illinois? How you doing? How are you doing?
To, If you'd like to ask Sebastian Bach how he's doing, you can do it at 844-686-5863 today. Baz is going to be hanging with us. So Baz, first of all, you are joining us from your new home in Vegas. How yes. are you liking living there?
Well, I really love living in Vegas. To be honest, I never could have envisioned myself ever living in Vegas because it seems to me like, you know, Disneyland or something. It's like, you know, do people really live here? And the answer is yes. And
a
of
lot.
Course, yeah. And of course, the question is, you know, the heat. Well, I'm happy to report that today it's extremely comfortable in the low 200s. No, in the 70s. But you know what? When it gets to be 110 or 111 and I go outside and get in my car, my reaction is laughter. I walk out of there, I go, are you kidding me? Like, and I kind of laugh and I get in my car and life goes on. And I'm always on the road. As you know, we are about to start a 3-month tour. So today is literally my last day at home before we go out for 3 months in the USA. And I'm always, you know, coming in and out. And to be honest, my focus always is my kids, like you, Eddie. My kids are what I focus on. And I remember being in school when a new kid would come in halfway through the year and they were like the weird kid and they didn't, you know, fit into the cliques of the other kids. So I have an opportunity coming up in January here in Vegas, but I'm not allowed to tell you what it is, Eddie.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So if I was going to do something in January in Las Vegas, if that was going to happen, I would want to have my kids in school starting in September so they can have a good year. And that's the whole reason that we moved when we did, because there's a lot of opportunity here in Las Vegas. And, you know, with the COVID protocols all different everywhere, especially worldwide, like you can't go play in England and stuff like that, and Australia and Brazil and everything. So the idea of having one central stage to play on where all the protocols are figured out and the crowd comes to you, like that's really a good idea. But in the meantime, we are going on the road across America. And I feel kind of like a guinea pig because, you know, when I was a kid, I always wanted to be an astronaut. Before I wanted to be a rock star, I wanted to be an astronaut, like when I was 6. And right now, I feel like I'm kind of like an astronaut because... Because me and Brent Woods and Rob DeLuca and Jeremy Colson on drums.
Your new drummer,
Steve Vai's band. We're getting in the bus. And unlike everybody else, we have 3 months solid booked. And all I can tell you now, Eddie, is I'm checking in with you now before it starts. And hopefully, you know, at the end of December, I'll have a good report for you. But this is no man's land. This could all fall apart at a moment's notice. But, you know, if Guns N' Roses are out touring and Mammoth, Wolf Van Halen, and if there's packed stadiums full of football games, then it's our responsibility as rockers to rock. And I'm tired of being cooped up. So let's go.
Well, I mentioned this the other day on the air. A lot of artists are doing like little 2-3 week runs, maybe 5-10 shows. You're right. This is one of the more lengthy, ambitious tours I've seen because it is a solid 3 months, and it starts. Well, you got it. Looks like a one off in Waterloo, New York, on this Saturday actually, and then you've got the actual tour starting on October 1st. And You're out there, man. SebastianBach.com is where you can find all the dates. Now, this is doing Slave, right? You're doing Slave to the Grind for its 30th anniversary, right?
Yes, we're doing it in its entirety. You know, you always like have these brilliant ideas. Like, we've already done it once. We did it at the Whiskey back in 2018. one time, and it was really funny because we did the first Skid Row album on the first night and Slave on the second. The first night's crowd was wall-to-wall chicks, you know, I'm just being honest. Second night was wall-to-wall dudes. And it couldn't have been a more different crowd. Like dudes with hooks in their noses and, you know, long earlobes and with weird stuff and mud kicker kid kicking me down. No, what just happened? No.
I got you. I see you.
Oh, yeah, good. Oh, I just got an update for an Adobe Flash. Oh, that's going to be remind me later. Thank you.
Yeah, no, we're good. We didn't lose you.
Okay, good. All right, here we go. I don't need Adobe Flash right now. Thank you. Okay, cool. All right, buddy.
Talking about the differences in the appeal of the first record to the second record. So what it's sounding like is when you get ready to go out there on tour, since you're playing Slave, it's going to be all dudes.
Well, you know, there's a couple of things I can say to that. You know, when I read back and forth in the press, which we all do, whether we want to admit it or not, Rachel once had a comment that when we put out Slave, we lost half of our female audience. And I at my immediate response to that was like, dude, do you not remember the Guns N' Roses tour? Because there was a lot of females coming out to that one. But in retrospect, having performed the first album on a full tour, he is right. The appeal on songs like Can't Stand the Heartache and Rattlesnake Shake totally are chicks love those songs. And dudes love Monkey get Business.
Get the fuck out.
Yeah, dudes love it. And so, hey, man, me and Rachel just agreed on something. You better alert me.
Let me ask you about, we should tell people that even though you're going to play Slave, you are still going to do songs from the first record as well. People will still hear those songs. So we should tell everybody that you're still going to get, I imagine, I Remember You and 18 and all that, yes, at the end, right?
Yes, sir. But, you know, another point I was making, you know, when I said we have these brilliant ideas at first, like yesterday I was singing the whole Slave record, and I got to say, there's moments on there that like some of the songs don't feel, it's my commitment to you, the fan, to get the hell into all these songs that I haven't heard for a long time. You know, Beggar's Day is a great song. You know, you love Mudkicker, and I actually co-wrote Mudkicker, but that is an extreme kind of song, actually, to actually do. So get ready, America. Here comes Mudkicker. Wasted Time, Beggar's Day,
Psycho Love.
Yeah, there's a lot of great things on there, but you're playing deep cuts, you know, so there's some deep cuts on there, but we're doing it, man. So here it comes. Here we go.
Baz, are you doing it? Are you doing it in sequence, or are you doing it like out of sequence? How do you do it?
We are doing it in sequence, except for one song.
Why is that?
I'm not telling, dude.
So are you doing Get the Fuck Out, or are you doing Beggar's Day, or are you doing both? Because there were two versions of the record.
We are doing half of the song Get the Fuck Out, because half of the song, the lyrics are not acceptable in this day and age. Even though I argued when I was recording that song about the words of that song are extreme. But we're doing half of it. And Beggar's Day, we're doing the whole thing, which is pretty neat because my wife, Suzanne, who I've been married to, I've been with 7 years now. But the lyrics to Beggar's Day go, Susie got an Uzi, what a beautiful bride. That's where the trouble began. Where will there be a resurrection or a bloody insurrection? It's only up to Suzanne with a load of bullets in her hand. So I'm like, how can this be? It's all about me singing about marrying a girl named Suzanne while there's an insurrection going on, and it's all up to her, and happy wife, happy life. But that's the fun thing about doing deep cuts, is that you get into songs that aren't necessarily hits and you don't hear on Channel 39 all the time. But it's fun. And a whole nother thing I've been doing, when I went to go see John Five, our great friend John Five, he had all these display screens on the stage, as you know, right? He's showing clips from monster movies and stuff. I go, dude, what are those screens on your amplifiers? He said, dude, those are TVs. I go, what? He goes, yeah. I just go down to Best Buy and I get like 3 or 4 TVs. I go, you can put TVs on a stage? He goes, yeah. He goes, they're $300 now. They're nothing. I go, well, that's a good idea. So I went down to Best Buy, and now my stage looks like a TV department display room. But, you know, that's what we're used to now as human beings. So as you know, Eddie, my dad painted the cover of Slave to the Grind. And I don't think people know this, but that was actually live people modeling that whole scene. And I've had, you know, these archives for 35 years now, or whatever the number is. And now that we're doing the 30th anniversary tour, I'm scanning all the photos from the making of the cover, and I'm going to display them on the screens with the cover. And it's just it's a way of paying tribute to my dad, and who obviously I miss. And, you know, all I'm doing is I'm doing what I can. Obviously, it would be, in a perfect world, appropriate to be doing this with Skid Row, but I can't do that now. And I'm like you, the anniversary thing is cool, but it gets kind of ridiculous when you're doing the 33rd or the 42nd. Like, you gotta be honest with the years. So you only get so many 30 years anniversary. So I'm doing what I can. Maybe for the 35th, it'll be the whole band together. Who knows what can happen in the future, but I'm just doing what I can. I could get hit by a truck tomorrow and nobody would ever see any of these archives. And I'm just doing what I can, trying to get through the COVID, trying to make this tour complete. As you said on your show yesterday, I'm on the hook for the bus. So, so let's get this done.
Yeah, well, I mean, so I did not know that those were actual models on Slave. I just thought that was actually hand painted by your dad, like out of his mom. I didn't know that he was actually looking at, he had set that up like that. That's going to be really cool to see. I'm really interested in that.
Well, I really like going to see, when guys put out a book, like Duff McKagan, when he put out his book, he had, you know, a slideshow going with photos right. You never saw. And I find that so interesting. A lot more interesting than just like a canvas backdrop. Like, I have a whole video show going the whole time. I've been doing this all my life. And I can't bring pyro with me, really, but I can bring some TVs.
You can hit the Best Buy. Let me ask you this. When you talk about singing this record, I mean, again, the vocals on all this stuff is next level. It's just crazy. And very few people, I mean, it's remarkable because I just saw you sing recently that you still, and we could go on and on about this, but of course, Baz is, like me, super outspoken about being real and live, and that's what he does. And I've got so much respect for that. But what's the most challenging thing for you to sing on Slave? When you have to do this record and every track on it, what's the song or two that's the real nut buster for you?
I will tell you, honestly, the ending of Quicksand Jesus.
I thought you were going to say that. Yeah.
That is me pushing my voice and my melodies, my licks and everything. That's pushing it to the max. That's really hard to do, but I have to say this, that sometimes fans lose sight of the fact that making a record is not playing a show. Like making a record, you're standing completely still. You're in an air-conditioned studio, and you can try as many times as you want to get the ultimate take that you want. That's not the same thing as going out there and you get one shot and that's it. And if you're not using tapes, like, too bad for you. Like, if you mess up, everybody's going to know it, but I'm exactly like you. I'm not interested in going to a karaoke show. That doesn't have any interest to me. So that's just the way it is. But you know, like I remember reading an interview with The Edge from U2, and people giving him crap for his use of echo, saying that echo is, you know, you're using it as a crutch or something. And his answer was, no, I like the sound of echo. Like, for me, vocals, my favorite vocals of all time would probably be Unleashed in the East from Judas Priest. The way those screams sound with the delay and the echo, Victim of Changes, the ending of Exciter, that blows my mind. And I don't think Halford's using echo as a crutch. I think it just sounds epic. So I use effects sometimes, but I don't use auto-tune or nothing. I just, you know, I love the sound of Halford's voice, and whatever kind of effects he used, I kind of tell my sound man, dude, put that Halford magic on there, please. Thank you very much. Go listen to Unleashed in the East. Go listen to that. That's the way metal vocals should sound, for sure.
It should just at the console at front of the house, there's just a little fader that says MG on it, Metal God, the Metal God fader. And you just bring it up into the mix, and that's it. You sound just like the end of Victim of Changes. That's amazing.
Well, you know, you're allowed to do that. This is the music industry. If there's a sound you like, you're not cheating or anything by putting some delay on there. And, you know, there's always a controversy about Kiss Alive. Did they play on the record or did they overdub? Newsflash, you're allowed to overdub. You're allowed to do that. It's not a crime. If you're making an album and you want to overdub a part, that's completely allowed. And everybody does it. You know, when we were kids buying Kiss Alive, nobody talked about that. We didn't care. We didn't care at all. Like, nobody did. And you know, if I change the ending of Quicksand Jesus live, I would rather do, say, what Rod Stewart does. I'm not going to drop the key of the song, but I might alter a melody within the original key. Or I might just nail it. Who knows?
I don't care what you do as long as it's live. I don't care what you do. I went to see the Black Crowes the other night, and I had a big conversation with Chris Robinson after the show about this. That band was out there with wedges and as live and real as it could get. And I was just like, thank God, man. And he just looks at me, he goes, yeah. Rock and roll isn't supposed to be perfect. Live rock and roll isn't. That's what live rock and roll is. And I'm like, thank God. Thank God for you. Thank God for people like Sebastian. Thank God for people like Lizzie Hale, the people that speak out about it, that keep it truly real and understand that's what the essence of live rock and roll is, that spontaneity every night.
Yeah. And there's lots of guys that really do it. Like Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray. I'm in a corporate band with him. Royal Machines, he sings completely live and he nails it. Billy Idol sings 100% live and he takes pride in it. Roger Daltrey from The Who, I've done two cruise ships and got a cake smashed in my face from him.
Let's not talk about it. I have never heard of such a thing. That's crazy.
I'm sorry about that. That was ridiculous.
Listen, hold on. Let's do this because I got to do a break, and I want to take a quick break now, and then we come back and we'll have a good, at least a good 20-25 minutes more with Sebastian, who's willing to hang with us. And he's also willing to take some calls from the audience, and we're going to go to the phones in a minute, and we'll let a few of you say hello to him so you can ask him how he's doing. And we'll come back with more with Sebastian Bach. Again, go to SebastianBach.com and find a date near you. The tour with him doing Slave starts like very soon. So get your tickets and find a date near you. So I can share a little something with the audience for the first time here that will be of particular interest to those in the Houston area planning to go see Sebastian Bach at Warehouse Live. Not only am I excited because I'll be at that show and hosting it, but we can also announce that that show is moving from Thursday to Friday night, which is an even better night to come out and have a rock and roll party. And the new date is going to be October 8th. That's not even officially announced yet, but we can give you a heads up. It's just moving one day later from the 7th to the 8th of October. That's the new date if you're going to the Houston show for Sebastian. And again, go to SebastianBach.com and find a date near you as the tour is about to start as he celebrates the 30th anniversary of Slave to the Grind. Sebastian, who else is on the tour with you? You've got an opening act, right?
Yeah, we have a band from Detroit called Kaleido. K-A-L-E-I-D-O. I have no idea what a Kaleido is. We had a band booked called Stitched Up Heart. I don't know about you, but I kind of keep up with new bands through Instagram, or, you know, that's an easy way to see their videos and what they got going on. And so when we got the tour rebooked, Stitched Up Heart was booked with another band. So we had to find a new band, and my agent submitted about 10 choices. And I watched videos from each of them, and I watched these videos from this band Kaleido, and I really liked the videos. One was called Panic in a Pandemic, which made me laugh, but I just liked their music, and that's it. And I didn't have time to really dilly-dally around. And so they're coming, you know, hopefully everything works out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, again, you see instances where it is working out for artists. Like you mentioned Guns N' Roses. I mean, that's a massive touring production. Right. You and I were both at the show, in the show in Vegas a few weeks ago. And I mean, they've gotten through, thankfully, okay, without a problem. So you just got to get out there and do it. You're vaxxed. I'm vaxxed, but you're vaxxed and actually got COVID, right?
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I was very confused about doing this tour because every time I go online, it's like all these bands canceling their tours. Like yesterday it was Joan Jett, the day before it was some other band. It's everybody's canceling. So I called my doctor. I go, dude, I'm confused about this. He goes, Sebastian, you've had COVID and you beat it. He goes, that's like taking 100 vaccines. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, there's a chance you'll never get symptoms from COVID again in your whole life now that you've had it and you beat it. And I I'm not a doctor. Like I just go by what doctors say. I'm not trying to tell anybody what to do because I'm not a doctor, but I listen to doctors.
Right.
So that's the discrepancy. And all I can say to the fans, I don't want anybody to get sick, but hey, if you've had COVID, come on down to the show.
If you're vaxxed or you've had it or both like Sebastian, then yeah, then go rock and live your life. That's all you can do. Yeah. How are you going to handle meet and greets? You've always been great. You know, I got to tell you something, man. And I don't know if you heard me say this on the air. We've had callers call in because, you know, a lot of times when fans pay for a meet and greet with an artist, they go, and a lot of times they walk away pretty unhappy. They're like, the guy didn't spend any time. He didn't even look me in the eye. He didn't engage with me. We've had people specifically call in who have gone to your meet and greets and be like, Sebastian's amazing. Like he hangs out, he offers me a glass of wine. He's like, you get to go on the bus. So that's a really, like, you're really engaged when you do these meet and greets. How are you going to handle that with COVID?
Well, we're subtitling this tour, the Bach in the Bubble tour, like the boy in the plastic bubble. So we're going to try to do all that. We haven't even tackled the issue of meet and greets yet because we're so focused on just getting it done, but we're going to be out so long that if it's possible to do a meet and greet, we will do it. You know, like a Q&A, a sound check or something like that. But the thing about the meet and greets that the fans were calling you about, there's a story behind that. Once my, what is that theater in Brunswick, East Brunswick, New Jersey, that famous theater?
State Theater? Bands,
yes, yes, the State Theater. That's exactly it. Years ago in the late 90s or mid 90s, maybe, Willie Nelson was playing the State Theater in New Jersey. And my mom worships Willie Nelson. And she goes, "Oh, honey, 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 you got to take me to see Willie Nelson." I go, "I don't know Willie Nelson." I go, I don't know if I can get into a Willie Nelson show because I'm, you know, so I called some people and sure enough, I got, you know, tickets and passes to Willie Nelson in East Brunswick. So I took my mom and I picked up the tickets at Will Call, and our tickets were front row center. And I go, "I can't believe this." So we walked down, you know, and people were like smashing, you know, and I get right to the front row, sit down right in front. Willie does a show and he's looking at me going, "Hey, man," you know, being cool and stuff. And I go, "I can't believe this." And my mom's just like a fan. She's going, "Honey, honey, we got to go meet Willie. We got to go to the bus." I go, Mom, I'm not going to go hang out at the bus, like trying to meet Willie. Like, that's kind of weird. And she's like, "Please, please." And I go, okay, Mom. Like, she was freaking out. So I took my mom out to Willie's bus and there's some people and they turn around and go, "Sebastian Bach." I go, "Yeah." They go, "What are you doing here?" I go, "My mom loves Willie." And I go, "Mom, we got to go. This is really embarrassing. I don't want to be hanging out like at the bus, like a groupie." And right when I said that, the bus door opened up and a big cloud of weed smoke wafted out. And it was just Willie. And he goes, "Hey, man, why don't you guys come on inside?" And I look at my mom, I go, "Oh my God." And Willie got me and my mom was like crying. Willie brings us into the bus and the feeling of going on to the Honeysuckle Rose with my mom, I will never, ever forget. This was before bands did meet and greets. So I said right then, I go, "If I ever meet fans, it's going to be welcoming them onto the bus," because that's rock and roll and fans don't get to hang out on a bus, right? So Willie, you know, I rolled up a couple joints and my mom smoking with Willie and we're all smoking.
Your mom was smoking weed with Willie?
Hell yeah.
You and your mom were smoking weed with Willie Nelson on his bus? That's awesome.
Well, I don't want to rat you out, Mom, but, you know, yes.
God bless her. That's incredible.
We were ahead of our time. So I smoked so so much that I couldn't smoke anymore. I go, "Okay, that's enough." Because I couldn't even form a sentence. And then Willie goes, "Hey, Sebastian, roll up another one." I go, no, I'm good. That's enough." He goes, "Hang on a second." And he goes into his bunk, Willie, and he comes out with like a pillowcase of weed. He goes, "Roll up some of this." And he throws it boom, like a pillowcase. So, and then he invited me to play Farm Aid. I gave him my number. I never heard from him again. I guess there was some good stuff. But that really sunk in. And I said, what a cool memory. And so I always brought the fans on the bus for a meet and greet. Having said all that, on the Bach and the Bubble Tour, none of you are coming on the bus.
Not this time.
Not this
weed
time.
Weed or no weed, not this time.
No, even all if right. You got two pillowcases.
All right, listen, you and I could talk forever, but I want to you're very cool to give us this much time. We don't usually get to do this with guests, so I want to let some of the listeners call in and say hello to you in the about 10 minutes left or so before I'm going to have to let you go. But again, go to SebastianBach.com, find a date on the upcoming Slave to the Grind 30th Anniversary Tour. It's a killer band. My dear friend Brent Woods on guitar, Rob DeLuca, who also plays in UFO on bass, and you got a new drummer, as you mentioned, Steve Vai's drummer, Jeremy Colson. I know Bobby Jerzombek is speaking of country artists, is playing some with George Strait now, right?
Yeah, you know, I've had Bobby in my band since around 2004, and he also plays with Fate's Warning sometimes, but I've had him constantly since then. And then this new up-and-comer dude, George Strait. Who's this George Strait guy? Who's this guy? I got to go have a word with him. He's stealing my drummer. Like, no, it's a complete honor. You know, Bobby is playing stadiums, you know? Yeah. And you gotta salute any musician that comes from heavy metal and then transcends to a whole nother genre. And the fact that he's playing stadiums, you know, I'm not gonna say, Bobby, come on, dude. We're doing Joe's Crab Shack. What are you doing? What are you doing at the stadium, man? Come on. We're doing Joe's Crab Shack okay, Baz, I'm gonna turn this down.
let's get a few calls in for Sebastian right now. Here's John in Connecticut. John, you're on live with Sebastian Bach. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey guys, listen, first of all, Eddie, thanks for doing what you do. Sebastian, same here. I just wanted to touch base with I went to the last show up here in Connecticut, the Palace Theater, with Sebastian when he played the whole first album. Did a meet and greet on the bus. Dead nuts. Awesome guy, you know, spends the time with you, really great. I don't know if you remember me, Sebastian, but when I got on the bus, I was singing, "It's cold gin time again," and you go, "Hell, you're really fired up, aren't you?" And I was like, "Hey, why wouldn't I be, right?" So, you know, and the TVs that you put on the stage, big plus, it was great seeing all the 80s and 90s videos from, you know, right. You guys being hammered, doing blow, doing everything. It was great. It was great, man. Hey. So I'm a huge fan. I've always been a big fan. It's awesome, man. I'm really looking forward to the next show. The next show is further south here. It's in Toad's Place in New Haven. I might go see the one in New York in Sony Hall. But listen, Sony, you guys, Hall's thanks nice. For everything. Go ahead.
Hey, right, dude, you didn't ask us how we're doing, though.
Yeah, I know how you're doing. I don't have to ask.
How you doing? How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Great. Talking to you guys, good, so it's really good.
Thank you, John. I appreciate the call. Thank you. Is there going to be? I want to see a picture on those TVs come up of your mom and Willie Nelson smoking weed. Do you have a photo of that?
No, but that reminds me of when we did the Philadelphia Spectrum with Guns N' Roses. Somehow, me and my mom ended up in Slash's dressing room, my memory of that was just being in this dark, you know, dressing room at the Spectrum in Philly with my mom, like, doing shots with Slash. And then they're in, like, a deep conversation, my mom and Slash. It was great. Like, I got some great memories.
Yeah, no doubt. Here's Lawrence, who's in New Jersey, joining us now. Lawrence, you're on with Sebastian. Go ahead.
What's up, fellas? Bass, quick question for you. Over the summer, I read your autobiography. And I knew you grew up in Canada, but I had no idea that you grew up in the Caribbean. So this is my question. Since you grew up in the Caribbean, obviously, you know, you were just, you know, this guy, you know, you grew up around pretty much around, you know, a lot of other black kids or whatever. So credit to your parents and just even hearing that story about, you know, your mom smoking weed with Willie Nelson. So how did that, your childhood, how did that kind of like shape your outlook and life and in your music? Because I know my mom, she wouldn't have smoked weed with any, well, actually she probably would have smoked a joint with maybe Marvin Gaye or Teddy Pendergrass. So how did your growing up in the Caribbean kind of affect the way that you relate to people and how you, you know, your outlook on life, and how did it add to, you know, your way that you wrote and created music?
That is a great question, man, and not a question that I was anticipating, and you put a lot of thought into that, and it's very time appropriate for the times we're living in. My dad taught at a kindergarten in Freeport, Bahamas, and that's where I was born, and he taught at Mary Star of the Sea School. Who knows? Maybe your show's on in the Bahamas, Eddie. Maybe people listen to that. But anyways, I was the only white kid in my kindergarten class. All the other kids were aliens. No. No. So I was the only white person in my kindergarten class. And then when we moved to Canada, the same sensibilities are what I grew up with, that, you know, racism is lower than low and more despicable than anything I could think of. Judging people on the color of their skin is just so, you know, like backwards, archaic way of thinking. And I can't comprehend that. And I can't justify or be around an adult in their 50s or 60s who uses the N word. Like, you know, I mean, everybody grows up in a different environment, you know, and I've used words that are horrible too. I'm not going to pretend that I'm some moral, you know, high barometer. Everybody knows that I've said some really dumb things and used words that are not good. But for me, I've never been down with judging people on the color of their skin. We're all just the same. And I think that's a weak way of looking at people.
Let's talk to Joe, who's in Vancouver, and he joins us now. Joe, go ahead. You're almost Sebastian.
Hey, guys. Hey, I can attest that Baz's meet and greets are probably for the best bang for the buck you're going to get. This guy, I drove down from Vancouver for the Seattle book signing at the bookstore. They were giving us the rules about he's not going to do this, he's not going to do that. Baz comes walking around the corner and goes, I'll do whatever you want. I don't care. And then the meet and greet at the Commodore, after the show, talking Rush, Trailer Park Boys, the guy's the best. Baz, I'm hoping that the shows that were supposed to run through Canada again, I had Commodore tickets again, that kept getting kicked down the line. I hope that gets rescheduled. I don't know if you can address that. And wondering one thing, if you remember, I used to be good buddies with guys in Black Diamond. And my first exposure to Baz was like mid-90s before the Kiss reunion tour. Black Diamond playing, I think it was at the Vogue on Granville. And Baz jumps up to sing a couple of songs. And I swear a guy jumped out of the audience and tried to pull your leather jacket off you. I don't know if Baz remembers that.
I you know, we just moved in here in Las Vegas and I'm still unpacking boxes. And I pulled out this shirt and I go, man, Ace Frehley looks so weird here. And it wasn't Ace. It was Black Diamond. I have the Black Diamond shirt. It was the Ace tribute. Impersonator.
Right, right. Canada's challenge. Joe's in Vancouver, obviously. Canada's challenging right now with COVID and the border and stuff. So I imagine it's going to be tough for you to get back there until things clear up a little bit.
Yeah, well, I'm not in control of any of that. The simple fact of the matter is that we're going to play the whole world as soon as the whole world is opened up, especially like Australia and Canada and Brazil and the UK. We had all these plans. We had all these tours booked. But we're going to play the whole world as soon as the world is open.
First priority is being able to get through the 3 months of dates you have announced. And again, go to SebastianBach.com and find one near you. Hey, I want to, I got like 5 minutes, so I'll grab one or two more calls if I can. But before I run out of time, I didn't get a chance to ask you. I know you've been working on a new record. What's the status of the next album?
I don't know what you're talking about.
is that not supposed to be known that you're like, I'm not supposed to say?
No, let me just answer this. I listen to your show every single day and you always, you say, oh, this album happened because of the pandemic and that might be true for some people, but I was working on a record before the pandemic. But the pandemic gave me a lot of time to focus on it. So, but hey, if I only got a couple minutes left, I'll just answer that by saying there are a lot of plans for 2022 that I cannot tell you about yet, but 2022 is going to kick ass. I guarantee you. We're just getting through the end of this year first. If I only got a couple minutes, I got to say something to you, Eddie. I said this on stage in Tulsa, and do you got another call? Because I'll save this till the end.
I'll get one more. I got five minutes before I have to end. So you want me to take one more call?
Yeah, one more call.
All right. Here is Mike in Illinois. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey guys, thanks for giving me the chance. I just wanted to ask Sebastian if he remembers or what he remembers about the Great Pantera Barbecue on the Slave to the Grind tour that happened in Hannibal, Missouri. Because people think I'm crazy when I bring it up.
I have it on video, dude. And maybe one day if I get back with the old band, we can put it out instead of me making it an NFT, which will be what happens if we don't put it out. But I have that on video, and that was near the ending of the Skid Row Pantera tour, and Dimebag and Phil and Vinny decided to set up about 3 or 4 barbecues in the pit in front of the crowd. And they made themselves dinner and hot dogs for all the fans and for us. And we all had like a barbecue during the show. And it was ridiculous. People were throwing hot dogs around, but that was good times.
Thank you, Mike, for the call. All right, Baz, we got about 2-3 minutes. So go ahead, whatever you want to plug, mention, it's all you.
Okay, well, all I got to plug is the next 3 months in the United States. So look for your city and we'll be there. Fingers crossed. But I just want to say to Eddie, I said this on stage in Tulsa, but of course I did something crazy to overshadow it as usual. But I just want you to know, and I think I'm speaking for your listeners, that during 2020, when we were all locked at our house and we could not leave our house, it was doable for the first month. A little less the second, a little less the third. But by month 7 and month 8 and month 10, I know I'm not the only one who was going cuckoo at my house. Like, I've watched all of Netflix. I've listened to every Kiss record known to man. I've read every book. I've categorized and alphabetized my CDs and my DVDs. But I just got to say that your show meant more to me in that pandemic than any other radio show I've ever listened to.
Oh, thank you, man. It means a lot. I appreciate that. Thank you. It really does.
It's just because we couldn't go anywhere, and putting on your show was, you know, the feeling of rock when there was no other where to get it.
Man, means a lot to me, Baz. I really, you know, even seeing how you're emotional about it, it means a lot that you would say that about me in this show. And it means a lot to me as a rock fan that you would feel that strongly about rock music. I've said this as long as I've known you, man, for the decades I've known you, no matter what, you know, you live, breathe, bleed rock and roll. And that shows it, you know. And if I could play a small part for you or any of the audience and being an escape for a couple hours a day and celebrating and debating and having some fun with rock and roll, means a lot. Well, so seriously, thank you.
You were so much fun, and you always had a positive outlook when I didn't have a positive outlook. And I would put on the show, and your fun and your humor would remind me of why we do this. So thank you.
Oh, man, means a lot. Thank you, man. I appreciate it, brother. Really, I really do. Hey, listen, you take care of yourself. Get ready. And the tour kicks off for Sebastian Bach again. SebastianBach.com. You got a show this Saturday, Waterloo, New York, a DeLago Resort and Casino. That's a one-off. And then the actual tour starts October 1st, Grapevine, Texas, and runs for a couple months. So there's a date near you. Just go online and find it. And I'll see you and hopefully a lot of great fans that I know are in Houston. Remember, that date at Warehouse Live is moving one day later from Thursday to Friday. So even a better night to come out and party with myself and Baz and the band. October 8th, Friday, Warehouse Live. Don't miss that one as well. But just find the date wherever is convenient for you at SebastianBach.com. Best to you and the family, brother.
And one second, Joel, if the tour, something happens in the tour, I'm the new producer and I'm editing out all the how you doings. So, Joel, you get the pipes warmed up.
All right, I fine. Said, hey, if we want to trade paychecks, I'm on board.
Yeah. Oh, well, no, I didn't say that.
And Joel, I want to hear you sing the end of Quicksand Jesus. Good luck on that, too.
Oh, God.
Faz, I got to go. Right. Good. Thank you, buddy. Come
thank
on anytime.
Guys.
We'll see you.
All right. See you guys.
There he goes. Well, my thanks to Sebastian Bach and my thanks to Ace Frehley. Hope you enjoyed those interviews on this week's Eddie Trunk podcast. Thank you so much for listening and subscribing. Be sure to listen to me every day on Sirius XM Volume Channel 106, live 2 to 4 Eastern, nightly re-airs 10 to midnight Eastern, full shows, audio, video, more on the app. And be sure to follow on social media, especially Twitter and Instagram, at Eddie Trunk for updates on everything going on in my world. Also a fan page on Facebook, eddietrunk.com is the website. Have yourselves a great week, and I'll catch you next Thursday for another all-new episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast.